This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody at 420, a little afterwards, the voice of the LSU Tigers on the radio, Chris Blair will join us to preview LSU's series this weekend as they play Alabama. I think they're 21st in the country, Charlie, if
yes.
My memory's right. And so we'll talk about that. Also, maybe a little bit about spring football. And at 4:40, Deuce McAllister will join us to talk about the Pelicans making it official today, hiring Joe Dumars to be basically head of basketball operations, and maybe a little bit of draft and Derek Carr. At 5:20, Jen Hale from Fox Sports will join us, and Jen will also give her take on Joe Dumars. And I think she's maybe got a pick for round one for the Saints. So we'll have Jen on to talk about that in that 5:45, our Bet 365 triple option feature. Charlie, it was official today. No shocker, because we've been talking about this since Monday. But Joe Dumars, officially head man in charge of basketball operations for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, it was reported. Now, it's been finalized very swiftly moving after they had moved on from David Griffin Monday morning, Mike. And here we are Wednesday afternoon with Joe Dumars being announced as the next lead executive for the New Orleans Pelicans. He's been out of the game for a while. You know, we've talked with Chuck Dawson, we talked with David Grubb, all these Pelicans reporters, that he had a hunger to get back into the game. And when you're a Hall of Famer, when you're a champion, when you've been winning at such a high level for so many years in the NBA, you know, you always have that kind of itch to get back into it. So we hope the best for Joe. Obviously, he had a tumultuous conclusion to his time in Detroit.
That means it wasn't good at the end.
It was not very good. I'll try to be nice, Mike. But he had some issues in Detroit, especially drafting. But we'll see. You've talked about the most important thing for Joe Dumars is making sure he has the right people around him in this Pelicans front office.
Yeah, it's not about the sum. It's the parts
around
you.
Agreed. And so that's the most important aspect to his success here.
And I want to see how he handles some situations with a veteran like C.J. McCollum, how things get handled with Zion. And I do agree with Grubb. If you're going to deal him, this may be the offseason to do it. May be the offseason to do it. Now, again, it would depend on price and what you get back in return. But I think we've seen this movie already.
I think, you know, and I keep saying this time and time again, it's not smart to trade Zion when he's at this low of value. But at the same time, it's been this way for so many years, Mike.
That ain't going to change, Sean.
It really isn't. And so that's kind of the issue at this point is what is his value? I know that there are teams that are interested in adding Zion Williamson based on his talent alone, but at the same time, what is the price tag? What are you getting back in a trade for Zion Williamson? The stat that sticks out to me that Bobby Marks had put out, and we've also mentioned this as well, 4 of the 6 seasons that Zion has been in the NBA, he hasn't broken 30 games played. Just think about that for a second. It's an 82-game season in the NBA. Four of his first six seasons in New Orleans, he hasn't broken 30 games played. So, the injuries, the drama, it's all been a part of Zion being in New Orleans since he got drafted in 2019. So, if they decide to move on from him and usher in this new era, the draft lottery night is going to be big, Mike. It's going to be a huge one. If you get the number one overall pick and you say...
Well, I know who they would pick.
Well, no, I know. And you get the you win the Cooper Flag lottery and you decide, okay, we're moving on from Zion. We're going to try and rebuild. That's, you know, I'll be bought into that. If they decide, hey, we want to go and try and win with Zion right now, and regardless of what pick we get in the draft lottery, I'm in on that too. They just got to figure out and decide what they want to do.
Yeah, it's like buying stock.
Yeah.
You know, you want to sell where it's the highest. And Charlie, I don't know that the stock for Zion's going to be any different a year from now because, you know, just the way he is, and he was in great shape, maybe the best shape we've seen him in the pros, certainly. I don't think there's any question. And when he was on the court, man, he kind of tilted the court a little bit. He was that good. But if you're going to miss all that time, you know, you're not doing me any good in the tub, so to speak.
That's the biggest first decision for Joe Dumars is what is the future of Zion Williamson in New Orleans? Because I think a lot of people are fed up, Mike. We get texts about it all the time. Trade them, move on from them.
I would say 95% of the texters.
And then you'll have these performances, though, like you saw at points of the season, where he flashes the ability to be a 1A player on a top-tier playoff team. And you see the flashes, and that's what makes it so frustrating because others are just like, we can't give up on him. We just got to hope that he can actually play a full season and lead us to the promised land type of thing.
Yeah, it's again, there's a lot of hope with that. And
it's a gamble.
And so this is going to be, I'm not saying the first decision made by Joe Dumars, but it'll be in that quandary of the first couple decisions that he's got to make as the basically chief operator for basketball operations. We were going to have Chrissy Freud on. Chrissy was going to cover Georgia Bulldogs, which she does for the USA Today. Chrissy had an emergency, wasn't able to come on today. But tomorrow, both Jalen Walker and Mikael Williams, they're going to participate in a private workout for NFL scouts and decision makers. Charlie, they'll have a lot of peeping eyes. And
oh, yeah.
I've told you this before. Jalen Walker is the hot name now. And I'm talking about he could go as high as 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. Man, Jalen Walker, because off-ball linebacker, rush the quarterback off to the side. I'll give you some of the comments. I'll send it to you. Because we were talking about that yesterday, about Mikael Williams, I text Pete, and I'll read the comments, Pete, because Pete worked with both Jalen and Mikael Williams.
Yep.
And so they will have a private workout tomorrow, a lot of peeping eyes, and over the last 5 years, no team in college football has produced more NFL players than the Georgia Bulldogs.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, I just want to make sure I'm not missing anyone. There's possibly three more first-round picks, because you also talked about the first-round pick aspect, and Alabama is technically leading that over the last 5 years. But Georgia could add three first-round picks this year, potentially, with Jalen Walker, Mikael Williams, and Malachi Starks. So those are the three that came to mind. Am I forgetting anyone?
Nope.
That's, all right.
Those are the three. It's funny. No offensive linemen this year, but they'll have some picked in rounds.
Like
maybe.
Tate Ratledge.
Yeah, they'll be second- and third-round picks. No first-round picks. For offensive linemen for the Bulldogs in 2025. We come back. The voice of the LSU Tigers on the radio, Chris Blair, will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Been a little while. Great to hear your voice again.
No, thank you, Mike. Good to be on with you and Charlie.
Chris, before we get into baseball, I'll ask you a couple football questions. Whatever it is, spring practice or the spring game or whatever, but I think the encouraging thing is what we're seeing or what we're hearing off the edge and the ability to match up maybe quicker players up front at the defensive end or at the linebacker position will get weeks and everybody back by the time the season starts. But it's been the pickups of the offseason at defensive end that I think have really been the talk this spring, and Jack Pyburn and what he's been able to do. You got a young man from Nebraska. We see the development of Dominic McKinley and, you know, certain other guys that were here a year ago. That has to be music to the ears of Brian Kelly, because what at one time was a strength. Marlon Favorite always said, Mike, man, we were one time rotating 11 defensive linemen. 11, and we were fighting for that time. It looks as though, while it's not there yet, there is some encouraging parts to this.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think that was the biggest takeaway, you know, as you said. I mean, I think that was the biggest storyline, was the addition of, you know, a new coach up front, the additions, Plyburn and the others that they were able to bring in. Again, along with, you know, I think you know, you look over the last 2 years, I think offensively LSU could match with just about anybody. But, you know, you don't want to be, you know, week after week after week just simply having to outscore people. I mean, the SEC, as you know, and everybody knows, way too talented to hang your hat on that and hope that it works out every Saturday. So, you know, there's obviously been a push to improve the defense. And I think that was the biggest storyline. I mean, not to think that, you know, they're not really concerned about replacing some of the weapons they lost on offense, but I think, you know, the cupboard, the known entities in that cupboard probably a lot better, and it starts obviously with Garrett Nussmeier. I think defense was a focus for, you know, Coach Kelly, Coach Baker, the entire defensive staff. I think you saw an improvement from, you know, the year before last year. Still not where they want it to be, but yeah, I think without question that's, and I think that will continue, Mike, to be honest with you. I think that'll be the focus once, you know, you get through the summer months and you start fall camp. I think everybody's going to say, okay, we feel pretty comfortable even with two offensive coordinators, you know, two different offensive coordinators since Coach Kelly has been here. We feel comfortable that we're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with most teams offensively. Where are we at defensively? And I think that narrative will continue through the fall. And it will be something that everybody's watching from week one all the way through the end of the season. But I think the at least the initial reports are that they have moved once again, like last year, in the right direction. And it, you know, I've always said, you know, when it comes to a team and how good a team's going to be, you know, you got to have great coaches, you got to have a great scheme, but ultimately you got to have guys that can go out there and make plays. And I think LSU has done a really good job with those young players, getting them some action last year and even some of the younger guys the year before, and then you go add what you need. I think LSU's close to where Coach Kelly wants to be in the sense that we're not having to overhaul the entire, you know, position group out of the transfer portal, but yet go find the pieces that can really enhance it along with the guys we already have. And I think we're there. We'll find out.
The other part about it is last year, and not until late when Chris Hilton finally got healthy, and then he had a shaky comeback from the injury. But my thing is, I told this to Charlie a lot. Speed never had a bad day in its life. Never.
Mm-mm.
And now you got Chris Hilton and Varian Brown coming in from Kentucky. First thing I do, if I'm Nussmeier, the first snap, man, I'll launch one out there. And I might not complete it, but I'm going to put that in the back of your head all game long, that I'm going to test you deep. And we didn't see that. And just because that player wasn't really on the roster until Chris got back healthy. And then when he got back, he took a couple of missteps and he got an earful from Coach Kelly about it. But we saw late, he was able to bounce back, play well. Varian Brown's another guy. He's going to run guys out their socks. He's that fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, you know, I think I said it week in and week out, you know, people would ask, you know, what's missing in this LSU offense or what's the next step? And I mean, it really was the ability to stretch the field. I thought we had really good possession receivers. I thought there were guys that, you know, obviously in an intermediate route could make one guy miss. But again, you're taking on SEC defenses week in and week out that also have speed on the defensive side. They may not, you know, those corners and safeties may not have the best hands in the world, but they certainly got good feet and good legs. and you just weren't able to really, again, stretch that defense. And I'm with you. I would love to see on the opening play at Little Death Valley over in Clemson to open the season. I'd love to see the first play be one chug deep. And again, if you get it, that's great. If you don't, again, they have to respect the fact that any moment you can do that. And I think defenses, as weeks went by, as everybody saw, I think they were able to cheat and say, look, we'll if they get one over the top, we'll live with it, but we don't think they will. And until they do, we'll just keep pushing everything up.
Chris, hopping a little bit to baseball here, I want to ask you about Jacob Myers and what you see from him the last couple outings here. Listen, like, when you have guys emerging on the mound, and you've had it throughout SEC play, especially out of the bullpen with like Zach Cowan and Kason Evans, who have been fantastic, but you're wondering who's going to be the third piece to kind of emerge out of that bullpen. We got the news about Gavin Guidry potentially having season-ending back surgery, which is unfortunate. But Jacob Myers, who Mike knows, the former ace of the Nicholls State Colonels staff for the past couple of years, he's always had a great fastball, electric stuff, but the issue's been command. And we talked with Joe Healy about this leading into the season, that he could serve a really strong bullpen role if he can just throw strikes. That's been an issue for him at times this year. I mean, in his first six innings pitched, He had one hit allowed, but he gave up four runs. How does that happen? 12 walks in six innings. Now, in the last two games that he's popped out against Auburn and McNeese, no walks in either performance, two strikeouts in both performances, and a majority of strikes. So I think, you know, maybe if he's starting to find something on the mound a little bit for LSU, that he could be a key third piece out of the bullpen for the Tigers.
Well, I mean, you got to find it. I mean, you got to have it. I mean, it's nice to know that you can rely on Zach and Kaysen, and they've been as reliable as they have been. But you see what happens. You know, you go through a weekend like this past weekend at Auburn where the offense really was the issue. It certainly wasn't pitching. And obviously Jacob Myers and Maverick Rizzi and Cooper Williams, the Connors, Connor Ware, Connor Benjamin, all those guys really held the rope, as Skip Bertman would say. They went out there and they did their job. Again, that's one snapshot. It was encouraging to see, you know, those guys again that I mentioned come out last night, albeit no disrespect to McNeese. I got a very good team. I think they'll be in a regional when all is said and done. But it's not what you're going to see on the weekends. But because they took that step to a little closer to consistency, that's the difference. And, you know, Jay has told me multiple times since before the season and then twice during the season when we've talked about Jacob Myers. He said, Chris, when you look at our roster, pitchers, position players, you name it, the guy who has the natural talent that is destined to be in a major league uniform is Jacob Myers. He's just got to get the work done to get that consistency, because he's got God-given gifts that just there's not a lot of human beings walking around that have that. And, you know, we saw it again last night. And it's just finding the strike zone. And, you know, some of it, I think Jay said, it's a process of teaching not just Myers, but even Maverick Rizzi, who's got a very strong fastball, is to be able to create some run on it. I mean, you can't have a flat fastball. I don't care how hard you throw it. If your fastball is flat in the SEC, you're going to give up hits and you're going to give up runs. Both of Maverick and to me, Jacob, have a lot of life on their fastball. Now they just got to hit the strike zone. And it's okay if contact is made, because you're relying on eight guys behind you that are pretty good at their positions. But, you know, you start walking guys and hitting batters, you know, that's going to kind of come back to bite you, especially in a league like this. So, yeah, I mean, I think that makes all the difference in the world. You look at that 2023 team, you know, at this point of the season, you know, we all knew that Riley Cooper was the guy that Jay relied on, whether it was early relief, middle relief, not necessarily closing, but he did at times. And then as you got towards the regional, super regional, and then on to Omaha for that nearly 2-week stretch, I mean, you started to see other guys, you know, kind of fill in, and that maybe in March or April, you kind of scratch your head and go, oh, I don't even want to see this guy come out of the pen again. And I think, you know, Doug Thompson and I talked about it on the broadcast last night with a guy like William Smith. I mean, the guy turned down professional baseball to get the college experience. It'd be great if he could come in and be Paul Skenes his first time out on the mound. But that's a little unfair to William. You're just wanting to see William, along with Jacob, with Maverick, with the Connors, each guy that comes in there, you know they have good stuff. They wouldn't be wearing an LSU uniform if they didn't have talent. We just need to see them take steps forward each and every time they hit the mound. And the good news is, I think over the last couple of weeks, where maybe we didn't see it a lot in the first month plus of the season, I think you're starting to see that. And goodness knows, those guys that I mentioned that pitched over the weekend, when they were able to hold or had to hold Zach and Kaysen until the final game, they got that to me, even though you lose three and nobody wants to lose three, to me, that was the takeaway, is that, okay, we got more baseball games to play. And the fact that they got that experience and performed the way they did, I think is going to bode well for the Tigers as we get deeper into the season. Because let's face it, we just finished the first half of the SEC race. So, you know, we've got, you know, another 15 games to go. And if those guys continue to take those steps, yeah, you're going to have a bullpen that nobody wants to deal with.
And like you mentioned, I mean, you get swept at Auburn, but you're still 10-5 in SEC play. And the magic number typically for a top eight national seed in the SEC is around 20 wins. If you can just replicate, you know, what you've done in the first half of SEC play, and I know it's going to be difficult. You host Alabama, then you host Tennessee, you go on the road to a Texas A&M team that's completely resurged. And then you host Arkansas, and then you travel and finish the year at South Carolina. But really, they're in a good spot. And the SEC is brutal. Like, the trip-up was always going to happen. Auburn's a good team. Getting swept, you know, I watched the D1 Baseball Nerdcast earlier today, and they kind of, their projection right now is that 13 teams from the SEC are going to make the field of 64. Sounds a lot like college hoops, but, you know, we all know how dominant the league is in college baseball and has been for some time. But LSU fans really shouldn't panic at this point. I think it's okay. You're in a good spot at 10-5. You just need to get to that top eight national seed.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's won four of their first five SEC series. They got swept by Georgia. That's why it was shocking to me when we arrived on the plains last week. I was like, man, this is a 6-6 team. How do you do that? But then you got to go do the math and you figure out, well, they won three of their first four series. So like when LSU takes a sweep in SEC play, you think the sky is falling. And then you come back and you take a look at things and you realize, you know, they had 38 fly ball outs to 17 ground outs. That's a little more than 2-1. They didn't get on base. Auburn, credit their pitching staff. They came into the weekend one of the worst. I think they were 11th or 12th in the SEC in team ERA. But they did a good job. I mean, Sam Dutton, you got to tip your cap. I mean, he controlled the zone. He kept his pitches low. He got LSU, you know, kind of swinging golf style, and that's resulted in 38 pop-outs over a three-game series. But then you come in Monday and you take a look at what LSU has done. It's kind of what Jay and I said Monday night on the coaches show. I mean, LSU's in a good spot here. They're a top five in virtually every offensive statistic in the SEC. First in a number, second in a number. I mean, they lead the league in doubles. That, to me, I mean, I give Auburn a ton of credit. The one thing I noticed, because they moved the press box there, we're kind of down the first baseline. Didn't have a good vantage point, guys, on what was on the plate and what was on the corners just because of the angle. But we could tell that they kept the pitches low. I mean, they didn't try to get them to chase a lot of high stuff. Occasionally they did. But, I mean, there were a lot of knee strikes and under-knee called balls all weekend long. And you just got to say, hey, Auburn got it done. But LSU is in a pretty good spot, you know, halfway through the SEC race. And while they do have ranked teams coming in starting tomorrow with Alabama, and then they'll take on a very good Tennessee team, arguably the best team in the country, and eventually Arkansas. I mean, you got three of those final five at home and, you know, in front of the best college baseball fans in the country. And, you know, the first three out of your first five were on the road. So, yeah, LSU's in a great spot. There's no need. As I tell people all the time, Jay Johnson makes me laugh because he has no panic button, doesn't know of one, doesn't have one, and doesn't need one. He knows this team has played well. And to be honest with you, they really hadn't faced any adversity until this past weekend. And sometimes that's a good thing.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights. I got to tell you this, though. I have a couple of neighbors of mine. They got the game on, sound off, and I can almost hear your voice from my house. They got that damn radio so loud, but, man, that deal is, I got to hear Chris Blair on the call. So, man, that's a two thumbs up on that.
Well, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry you have to do that. Please tell them to turn it down.
No, I can't tell that to these guys because they ain't gonna do it. I know that. Chris, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and Deuce McAllister right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio running things, and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, our radio color analyst for the Saints, and you'll hear him next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All coverage you want, NFL draft style, almost all day Saturday, and then Friday night, Thursday night, Deuce McAllister joins us now. And Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. Before we talk Saints stuff, I know you're a big basketball fan, so I'm going to ask you about the Saints bringing in Joe Dumars. For a lot of these guys...
Pelicans bringing in Joe.
Man, okay, man. Too much rolling in my head with all this draft stuff. With Dumars, for a lot of these younger players, they got to look him up in Wikipedia. I mean, now, for guys like you and I, we got to see Dumars play. And he was a terrific player for the Pistons, had some early success front office-wise. Man, it really trailed off. And I think that for most people here, it's like that is the big question mark is we know the sum here with Joe Dumars. It's going to be the parts that are put around him to be in his ear about college personnel, pro personnel that could be added to the roster.
Yeah, well, first, you know, we want to congratulate Joe Dumars as far as being named, I guess it's the official title is the Executive Vice President of Basketball. And so I think it's well-deserved. Now, if you've got a gripe with it, and obviously some people do, it could be the process of how it went about. But just knowing Ms. Benson, this was her decision. This was not something that she kind of, you know, and I know it's out there that she leaned on maybe Mickey or maybe even Dennis Lauscher in that regard. Maybe from the financial standpoint, she leaned on them. But the decision to hire Joe Dumars was hers. And I think people have the right to question whether the process should have been a long one or one that played out. I mean, hey, we can have that argument, but this was something that she had probably been contemplating for a while. And if you listen to some of the things that she said, this was something that she had been looking at. I mean, and so this was not an abrupt move to say, hey, Joe Dumars, I've known him, I've met him, I've worked with him. Yes, those are some of the statements that she made, but she's also consulted with some of the players as far as their thoughts. Maybe not necessarily, hey, if we brought Joe in, would you be in support of it? I don't know if that was the exact conversation, but this was not something that was just rushed in a sense. I think that she had identified maybe a couple of other people that she had some interaction with and that she felt like that could lead this team. And she made the call as far to let David Griffith go and, you know, hire Joe Dumars. And, you know, now as an observer, for myself, I want to see what changes that he's made, what adaptation that he's made, because some of the comments, and that's really what people are pulling from, some of the comments from his previous stint, I mean, and it still was a NBA championship, but, you know, as things started to go south, and then you question some of the picks, it's like, wait, we can all have hindsight to say 2020 that, oh man, yeah, you should have picked Carmelo Anthony and not Darko. Yeah, we can all say now, oh yeah, you should have picked Dwayne Wade instead of Darko. But a lot of times when you talk about the draft, as we know, it's coming up in the NBA in a couple weeks. Outside of one guy, really, honestly, this year, who would you take at top four? There are a couple guys, young guys, that have potential, but there's one guy, and that's Cooper Flagg, that you feel like that could truly change an organization's projection and trajectory as far as an organization. And so it's going to be intriguing. I mean, will your general manager truly get to run his show, or will Joe be in charge and kind of micromanaging a little bit? Because one thing you can't say about Griff, now you can fuss about who he picked and when they picked him, or we should have got this guy, or you should have traded these picks to get a veteran. But to be able to get a guy like Herb Jones, to be able to get a guy like Jose, to be able to get a guy like Trey Murphy, to be able to get a guy like Misi, to be able to get a guy like Antonio Reeves that looks like it's going to work. I mean, all of us could have picked Zion Williams. You know, we don't need to be, you know, we don't need a lot of years to say, yep, that's the guy I want. But to be able to identify some of those other pieces, I think they've done a really good job in the draft, and that's something that the Pelicans, knock on wood, will have a chance to pick somebody that can make an immediate impact, hopefully here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, what does that process look like with keeping Zion? Because I do know that there are some reports out there that, hey, there's a mandate to trade Zion. You know, and I don't know if that's 100% correct. There's probably some talk of it. But, you know, I think that they are going to allow Joe to say, hey, look, this is what we want. This is where we got to get. How do we get there? And I think that's going to be, you know, his call with his team as well.
Deuce, bottom line with this, David Griffin's unemployed today because he couldn't make it work out with Zion. If it was health issues, relationship issues, maturity issues, maybe all the combination, that's why David Griffin got pink slip. Bottom line.
Well, I wouldn't put it all on Zion.
But a lot.
Some of it on.
a lot of it on Zion, too.
Brandon Ingram,
yeah,
not being able to make that work, not being able to make that work, and then once you saw you weren't going to be able to sign him to an extension, you probably held on to him 6 months to 9 months too long. So I wouldn't put 100% on Zion, but that's the majority of it. I would agree with you there.
Yeah, and so I think that's where all eyes are going to be focused. If he makes, you know, a maneuver with C.J. McCollum, that remains to be seen. But I think all eyes now is how is Joe, and I do think Joe's going to be hands-on. Now, again, you got to have good ears. You got to listen well because your scouts are out there scouting these college players. You know, that's their job. You got to be able to listen well and what fits on your team. But bottom line is that major decision is what all of us are going to be looking at this offseason about Zion.
I agree with you. I mean, because that will tell you, you know, where you go as a franchise. I mean, we've been in the window. We've been in that mode for the last couple of years. And we've seen some teams that were in the window. Houston has been a team that was in the window. And it looks like they're going to figure it out. They're the two seed. So we can't continue to use, oh, we're in the window as far as to be able to attract players, or we need a young player, or, you know, CJ was a veteran. CJ was brought in to be that veteran guy to teach some of those young guys how to be a pro. I think he did a pretty good job of that, but that didn't translate to playoffs wins for you. So, you know, I can't scapegoat CJ and say, yep, he was the problem. He did what he was supposed to do. But, you know, you still didn't win playoff games, and I think that's probably the most disappointing part about it.
Deuce, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here and change the topic to the NFL draft. We're just over a week away from the first round, and Mike and I have talked about all the different position groups. I want to talk about some of the local kids, and I know Trey Harris is someone that you're familiar with. He started out at La Tech before transferring to Ole Miss, played the past couple of years with the Rebels. He's a Lafayette boy, went to Como back in Lafayette.
Just he was a quarterback, Deuce. I saw him.
He was throwing to Malik.
He was a quarterback, and he was throwing it to Malik.
Yeah.
But, man, Trey Harris, I remember when he was decided to leave Tech, we had a short conversation. He told me, I just want to go somewhere where they throw the football a lot. I said, well, where are you headed? He said, Ole Miss. I said, well, don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Lane's going to throw it.
He definitely going to throw it, and Trey would be a lot higher if he didn't have the injuries, you know, down the stretch this past year. I mean, and so I think that held him back a little bit, you know, and I think obviously he's healthy. He's never going to be a guy that's going to be a 4-4 guy, but he's a big physical receiver. And a lot of times, you know, you talk about that window of a receiver. I don't know what his catch radius officially is as far as his wingspan, but I think it's pretty good. And so he's a guy that should be physical at the point of attack with the football, physical coming off the line of scrimmage. It's just going to be in a situation where, hey, do you want to go across the middle? Can you absorb the hits? And then from a route complexity type situation as far as, hey, this is press man. This is what I want you to do. This guy's playing inside coverage. This guy's playing trail technique. Being able to show that he can do all of those things at the next level to be able to say it translate, that's really for Trey. But, I mean, Trey, he should be, in my opinion, he should be a guy that's not on the board after the third round. You know, really, honestly, if he's 100% healthy, he's probably a second rounder, late first, but really probably a second rounder, but definitely a guy that's picked by the third round.
Trey Amos, almost the same story. Now, he went to University of Louisiana first. Then he goes to Alabama. Only bad thing about that, they had Terrion Arnold and,
yeah,
and Kool-Aid there. So he was watching. He was the third corner. And then, man, how well he played this year for the Rebels at corner. And he ain't no small guy. You know, he's a big corner.
He's a big physical corner, and a thing that for him is to be able to show that he can play man and zone, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're up there in Oxford, they wanted to put you on the island, but, you know, there's some games where he was matched up man-to-man, and it was kind of tit-for-tat, and some of the faster receivers probably gave him a little trouble. So for him, he's got to transition and not be as handsy, but, you know, Trey's probably a guy that, if not late first, I could see early second for sure. But I think, you know, just it all depends on how the draft falls. What's the hot item? You know, is it going to be D-line? Is it going to be tight ends? Where's the run going to be made? He could be a guy that gets squeezed because of the run when the draft, when they started picking one specific position. But he's a late one to early second type of player. And, you know, another guy, like you said, started out really at two places before he ended up in Oxford.
Yeah, Deuce, save your voice. We got a lot of talking next week we're going to do come draft time.
Well, hey, I was with A-Bear last night.
Oh,
and so
God.
He's primed and getting ready for it. So, you know, I don't know if we need to save our voice, because he's got a whole, we'll call it a dictionary of stuff that he's got to get off and he's going to tell us about.
Thank you, Deuce. I appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, Deuce McAllister, our Saints radio color analyst. And again, starting next Thursday at 4 o'clock, full coverage all the way through to the end of round 7 right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.